Turn in your Bibles, please, to 1 Peter, chapter 1. And if you're using the blue Pew Bible, it's page 1014, 1014, 1 Peter, chapter 1. We will read verses 13 through 25. 1 month ago, our last communion service, we read the first half of this chapter and gave special consideration to verses 3 through 8. Written by the Apostle Peter, as the Holy Spirit directed him, this is the Word of God. Let us give heed. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as He who called you is holy, so you also be holy in all of your conduct, since it is written, "You shall be holy, for I am holy." And if you call on Him as Father who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in these last times for the sake of you, who through Him are believers in God, who raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God. For all flesh is like grass, all its flower like the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls. But the Word of the Lord remains forever. And this Word is the good news that was preached to you. Let us pray. We have heard your word read. Now, Lord, we pray that we may give serious due consideration to what we have heard. Help us to understand what you are saying to us, to take it to heart, to receive by faith and obey by faith, to the glory of your name. We pray through Jesus. Amen. The Apostle Peter writes to Christians. His letter is addressed to Christian believers, intended to forewarn and comfort them with regard to coming persecution and suffering. But he writes to them as those who call upon God as their Father. If you address as Father, he says in verse 17. The if there really should be because or since. It's the power of the word in this context. Since you who have been chosen for salvation by God, since you call God your Father. And that's what we have done this morning. At the beginning of our worship, we prayed together, Our Father who art in heaven. In verses 18 through 20, the Apostle reminds us, reminds believers in Christ, that we may know, that we do know, that we have been redeemed. Redeemed not by things that this world values, but redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. And this morning, as we share in the Lord's Supper, as we have before us the bread that is broken, the cup representing the broken body and the shed blood of Christ, Christ Himself is present in His Word and in the communion, confronting us with what our redemption has cost, the great cost to Him, and what sort of life that calls us to live. Well, let's think about the cost of our redemption. Let's think about it as a planned redemption, point number two. Point number three, the redemption that brings us to faith and hope in God. And the last point, a redemption that calls us to reverence our Father. Point number one, costly redemption, verses 18 and 19. The word redemption in the Old Testament most often is used in the sense of deliverance, as in the great event, the great redeeming event, as the Lord redeemed, that is, delivered Israel from their slavery in Egypt. Now, there was a cost to that redemption. An unblemished, perfect lamb had to be put to death, sacrificed, its blood painted on the doorposts of the houses of the people of Israel. They had to eat the meat of that lamb, all of it. And then, as God passed in judgment over the land of Egypt and took the lives of the firstborn sons in Egypt, He passed over the houses of His people who believed His word, who had sacrificed the lamb whose blood was on their doors. In fact, all of the Old Testament sacrifices had this requirement. The animals, whether they were bulls or goats or sheep, the animals had to be male and they had to be perfect. No blemishes, not lame, none of that. Had to be the best lamb, the best animal from the flock or the herd. What's the reason for that? In the first place, to communicate to the people of Israel that their sins could be atoned for only by a perfect substitute. And in the second place, in that, to give a picture of the Redeemer whom God was going to send, His own perfect Son, Jesus Christ. Now later, in the Greek world, the Greek and Roman world in which Peter and the apostles lived, the word that is used for redemption, redeem, in this letter, in other places in Scripture, and other forms of the word, the word has the sense of paying money to ransom captives, or paying money to purchase freedom for a slave. The payment most often being made in silver or gold. Here the Apostle Peter speaks of redeeming sinners. He's writing to Christians, but he speaks of them as having been redeemed from a futile way of life. He says it was inherited from your forefathers. Some of you have a godly heritage, and it was a few generations back that your forefathers actually lived a futile way of life. Praise God for your heritage in Christ. Some of you have been truly redeemed, delivered from a futile way of life that you did inherit from unbelieving non-Christian forefathers. And in speaking of that futile way of life, Peter is saying that it was a way of life that was devoted to no truly good or truly productive purpose. It was characterized by sin against God, by breaking His commandments, by worshiping false gods, and leading to no hope in the end. Living for this world, living for man-made gods, living only for myself, is going nowhere but to the judgment of God on the last day. And that means that without that redemption, all of us would still be helpless slaves to that futile way of life and destined for the judgment of God and the punishment our sins deserve. But God has provided a payment. God has provided a ransom. God has provided redemption. What is that redemption? More valuable than silver or gold, however much the world may value those commodities, and better even than the blood of bulls and goats offered to God in the Old Testament. Hebrews tells us that in truth the blood of bulls and goats could not atone for sin. But we're pointing forward to the blood that was shed by the Lamb of God, the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God foretold by Isaiah, of whom we read at the beginning of the service, the Lamb of God testified to by John the Baptist at the beginning of our Lord's ministry when he came to be baptized by John, and John pointed to him and said to people, "Look, there is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." As all of the Old Testament lambs had to be perfect to be acceptable by God in sacrifice, so our Lord Jesus, the Lamb of God, was perfect without sin. It could not be otherwise for two reasons. One is, He is the eternal Son of the Father, God Himself, and God cannot sin. But the other is this, that no one could substitute for sinners like us if he had even one sin to be held against him, charged to his account as his own. Because then he also would deserve the wrath of God and could not atone for anyone else. Isaiah says that God looked to see if there is anyone who would intercede. Isaiah 59 or 58, 59. But there was no one. And so God Himself provided the redemption. God Himself came in His Son Jesus Christ. God Himself provided the perfect Lamb, the Lamb who alone is able to take away the guilt of your sin and mine. And this was planned. It was a planned redemption. Verse 20. God's redemption of sinners was no afterthought, no plan B. It wasn't, "I made a perfect world. I put perfect people in it. look what they did. They sinned against me. Now what will I do? That's not what happened. But even before the Lord God Almighty had made the world, even before He made Adam, even before Adam sinned, even before all mankind fell into sin in Adam, God foreknew all of this. Now, it wasn't just that He's good at seeing ahead, you see. Because what He foreknew is what He alone governed. And foreknew here means knew because He planned it. Before He created the world, God planned the sending of His Son to be the Lamb who takes away the sins of all those He is going to save. So the vital question for you and me is, are you trusting for salvation from your sin and from the guilt of your sin to Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God? If you are, then you may know that God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit had you in mind in all eternity. Spend some time thinking about that. That would be something worth spending 20 minutes or half an hour this afternoon all by yourself, just thinking about the wonder of God's amazing plan that included you, that set love on you before creation. Well, point number three, a redemption that brings us to faith and hope in God. Planned in eternity, but revealed in time, in history. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but He has appeared, He has been made manifest in these last times, literally. He has come from heaven, born of the Virgin Mary. He has died, offering Himself for our sins on the cross to atone for those sins, to pay the ransom. As Jesus said in the Gospel to His disciples, the Son of Man, that is the promised King, the promised Messiah, did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life a ransom for many. He came, He died. He was raised by the Father from the dead and granted glory. Not only the glory that was His in all eternity, but now the glory of the obedient King and Messiah and Savior. Where is He? He is at the right hand of the Father. What is He doing? He is the great high priest, interceding for all who trust in Him, that God will forgive us and hear our prayers. He is sending the Holy Spirit, calling lost people to faith in Himself. So it is through Jesus Christ, it is through His redeeming work, that sinners are brought to faith in Christ. And that sinners are brought to have a sure and certain hope. What Peter calls in chapter 1, verse 3, a living hope through the resurrection of Christ Jesus from the dead. The world, which in its unbelief has no real hope, manufactures vain hopes. I hope I've been good enough. I hope there's a better place beyond the grave. Or I hope when we die, it's the end of us like dogs and there's no judgment waiting. But in Jesus Christ, in His redeeming work, we have a living hope, made sure and certain by His resurrection from the dead. Do you know that you have been redeemed by Christ's offering on the cross? Have you gone to God repenting of your sin and trusting in Christ for your redemption? Point number four, this redemption calls us to reverence our Father as a way of life. Verse 17 and other verses in the passage. Verse 17 says that God has redeemed us from a futile way of life. In verse 14, he describes that as a life that was governed by sinful desires and ignorance. Now, we may not have known we were ignorant. In fact, we may have been know-it-alls. But we didn't begin to know the truth of the living God until He brought us to know Him in Jesus Christ. That's what we have been delivered from. Darkness, confusion, ignorance, presumption. Governed by our sinful desires. A way of life that's futile. But delivered from that, we've been delivered to something. Delivered to a new life. What a great price has been paid to deliver us from that futile life and bring us to a new life. And Christ paid that price, His own blood, as Titus chapter 2, verse 14 that we looked at last week says, to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for Himself a people for His own possession, zealous for good works. Or, the language of the apostle, in 1 Corinthians 6, bottom of your sermon outline, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. You have been bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. What does redemption call us to? How should we respond when we have been brought to faith in Christ? Well, four things from the passage to call your attention to. First, know that you are a pilgrim in this world. ESV says, live out the time of your exile. Other translations may say, your sojourn. In chapter 2, Peter speaks of the Christians he's writing to as aliens and strangers. He means aliens and strangers in this world. Yes. Live in the conscious awareness that you are passing through this world on your way to the eternal world, the heavenly world. And do not attach your heart to treasure here on earth. Do not give yourself to the futile things of this world. But to the extent that they are morally indifferent, use them in service to the world to come and your life looking forward to that world. You have a treasure. Peter spoke of it in chapter 1. A treasure that is an inheritance, imperishable, undefiled, that will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are being kept by the power of God through faith. Secondly, live your pilgrim life in holy reverence for the Father. That's the point of verse 17. If you call Him Father, the one who impartially judges according to each one's work, then conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your sojourn, your exile, your pilgrimage. Take God seriously. Do not be presumptuous about His love and grace Oh, I'm saved. I can do whatever I want now. You weren't saved by God for that thought and for that way of living. You were saved to be zealous, to serve Him. Take God seriously. Yes, Jesus is paid to free you from the final judgment. There's no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. But you still live before the face of the Father, who is that holy judge, and who takes sin seriously, and who chastens the children He loves. So be thankful for the costly redemption He has given you, and show that thanks with holy reverence for Him. That Holy Father who redeemed you by the gift of His Son, yes, He is holy. He reminds us of that in verses 15 and 16. If you call Him your Father, and you are His children, children who love their Father, want to be like their Father. And so, as the One who called you is holy, be holy yourselves in all of your behavior. For it is written, "You shall be holy, for I am holy." Words spoken more than once to Israel in Leviticus and other places in the Old Testament. But words which we are enabled to take to heart because of the redeeming work of Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit He has given us. Desire to be holy. Desire to live in a holy way. Desire to be like your Father in heaven. Pray for that. Pray for the grace to be transformed every day and become more like your Savior. Commit yourself to that as obedient children. Finally, at the end of the chapter, see yourselves, each one of you, as bound to each other and to every other believer in Christ. See yourself as bound by God's redeeming love in Christ to your brothers and sisters in the Christian family. And express that in fervent love for each other, by which indeed we may encourage each other to take this passage to heart and to live as we are called to live. You and I can never repay the cost of our redemption. But what we can do and should endeavor to do is to show how we value it. How we see and appreciate the great cost that has been paid to redeem us by living lives of thankful service and obedience. As we share in the Lord's Supper this morning, think about these things. As you hold the bread in your hand, as you take it in your mouth, as you hold the cup, as you take it and swallow, this is the emblem. These are the emblems of what Jesus did, paying for your redemption. By this great cost, commit yourself to living a pilgrim life in this world. Commit yourself to a holy fear of your Father in heaven. Commit yourself to seeking to be holy with the grace that comes to us through the power of the Holy Spirit from the cross of Christ and from His throne in glory. Commit yourself to loving one another in the bonds of Christ. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we give thanks that we who deserve eternal condemnation and punishment for our sins against You, the Holy God, that we may call You Father and that we may call you Father because you gave your Son to redeem us from our sins and deliver us from all the consequences of our sins. What a gift. What a wonderful, costly gift you bestow upon us. And so, Lord, help us in response to that to trust Christ for our salvation, to surrender ourselves to Him as Lord and Savior, and to seek to be obedient sons and daughters of the Father in heaven, to fear you with a holy fear, and to walk in your ways, empowered by your grace. We pray and give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.